Hello and welcome to the Knucklecast. As always, I am Ben Weinrib, and I'm so glad you stopped by to listen again. It's been about 8.5 months since our last podcast, but I figured it's not too late to have the 6th episode. And with another year at Vanderbilt wrapping up, I figured I'd share with you guys my favorite interview of the year. Recently, I wrote an article for the Vanderbilt Hustler and InsideVandy.com about Johnny McCrary, and Johnny's probably going to be the starting quarterback for Vanderbilt next year. But as talented as he is, this was a former 4-star recruit at one point, the highest recruit in Vanderbilt history. He's just this interesting guy to be around. He's got an infectious personality and a very interesting backstory. And that's what I want to share with you guys today. Coach James Franklin had a rule that you were not allowed to talk to freshmen until spring practice. So a month ago when I got to talk to Johnny, that was the first time any media was allowed to talk to him. So I have that interview for you today. And I also talked to his head coach at Cedar Grove High School, Ray Bonner. So I hope you guys enjoy these interviews. This is the first time we really gotten to talk to you.
Cool.
So I guess the first question, which is kind of fun, is you go by Big Daddy a lot.
Yeah.
Is there a story behind that at all?
Yeah, my grandmother. There's a whole bunch of stories went by, but there was two stories. The main story was my grandmother. I was in church, and I used to always be like the little kid that just thought they were grown. So like I used to tell my grandmother, like, I'm going to get you a car. You ain't got to worry about it. And I told my dad, I'm like, you ain't got to worry about it. And I'm like 6 years old, so they at least be like, I had a little Big Daddy.
Yeah. So you've also gone by Big Daddy Japan and Big Daddy
Indonesia. Big Daddy Japan, China. Those are all the places. Indonesia right now, all the places I want to go.
That's what it is?
Yeah, that's the reason why I say China, Japan. I always want to go to China just because of history. Japan, history as well. Indonesia, because I just think of Indonesia as like a whole bunch of islands and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Have you ever been out?
Country, no. I've been out of the country. I've been in a lot of states, though. I've been probably like 40 some states.
Right. So last year you came here early. I guess you and Sean were the two early enrollees. So was that something Franklin had the idea for, or was that something you came to him about?
Well, we all had like a collective idea of coming in early. I didn't know Sean at first, but I just figured if I came in early, and the biggest thing about college is sometimes people don't get acclimated, and that's how they turn out the way they turn out. So I was like, the quicker I can get here and get acclimated, better off I'll be. But when they left, then it was like, pretty much the best thing that happened to me was the academic standpoint, was the fact that pretty much right now I'm close to being a junior, so
right.
And I'm still a freshman on the field.
Yeah. So was that tough at all? I mean, like missing your senior prom and the end of your...
Oh, I went to my senior prom.
Well, I guess missing the end of your...
Nah, not where I'm from. I'm from, it's lucky to get out of there.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, not too many people leave. Not too many people make it out, so...
Is that like a tough neighborhood or...?
Area. Elmwood, Georgia, Boulder Crest Road is pretty bad, so... If you can make it out as quick as possible, get out as quick as possible.
I don't want to delve into anything too deep, but do you have any like examples of kind of stuff that happened from your sort of area? You said not a lot of people make it out.
Oh, yeah, definitely. A lot of my friends, I grew up with either passed away or doing something bad like narcotics or things that they just really don't want to go anywhere. They just settled. They just settled with just not going any farther. They just settled with just... working at McDonald's or Foot Locker, things like that. That's what I mean by make it out. I had personal experiences, but
yeah,
those are pretty much the farthest and closest experiences I had with it.
You had some friends who died. Was that like, were they dealing and stuff?
Yeah, it's either drugs or just sometimes being in the wrong place at the wrong time. So many life lessons really just dealing with your friends. But.
So what's that first day like when you stepped on campus as a student? Sort of the difference between where you'd been.
Oh, it was the first few days where I thought college was the best thing ever. You move into your dorm and kiss your parents goodbye. You notice that you're just by yourself. It was the third day where I had my first essay in English from 100 where I figured out college. So it wasn't the best thing.
Yeah.
It's tons of work here. I didn't know. I asked my friends like about work at other colleges. And they really don't do anything the freshman year, so I'm thinking it was going to be easy until like the first week, and then I pretty much got a crash course at the first semester.
Yeah. Well, so you had tutors and stuff to work with
that? Tons of tutors, tons of athletes on the team to help me out.
So what does Vanderbilt do to sort of help you guys as athletes sort of make that adjustment that first year?
Just tons of study hall. there's tons of study hall. They're trying to find different ways. They notice that everybody's different. Everybody learns different. Mm-hmm. So they just find ways to make you learn. The best thing to do. Just everybody's different. So that's the thing I like about Vanderbilt and probably any other college, because they treat everybody differently. At the same time, they treat everybody the same. So.
Is that something you knew coming in, or what made Vanderbilt the right school
for
you?
That too. I was kind of sketchy on Vanderbilt just because I knew how prestigious and how high academically it was, but when I got the opportunity to actually get here and notice how much help I actually would have, I took advantage of that.
So, you and Sean...
that's my boy.
So, how quickly did you guys become friends?
It's a funny story, actually. Me and Sean hated each other first month. First month, me and Sean, he couldn't stand me, and I couldn't stand him. And then we started playing Temptations. I was playing Temptations in my room because I kind of like old music. And he was singing the lyrics. And I was looking like, what does this boy know about the Temptations? And then I turned on some Bob Marley. He knew Bob Marley. I'm looking like, hey, man, he got some soul to him. And then we were going through the same stuff. It wasn't like, we were going through the same essays, same classes. We both was handling morning workouts. So we kind of fell into this tight relationship. Yeah. It's like my best friend now. I mean, it's like a brother to me. It's like my brother, really. So it's just all those experiences we went through together that made us so close, how close we are now.
So did you guys live together? Or?
Yeah, we live together.
Who are you living with now?
Jerron Seymour. But now we're getting a Morgan. Cheers.
I know you went through something kind of tough right around spring football last year with your dad.
Yeah.
So when did you first, was that unexpected? Or?
Yeah, it was like another spring practice. Coach Franklin called me into his office. I was thinking I messed up on a paper or something like that.
Yeah.
All the coaches on there. Then they told my father had a went into cardiac arrest and he's not doing too well. And it hit me kind of hard. I came out here and cried it off a little bit. And then I actually went to the hospital and never seen any person on a deathbed. I seen my mother pass away, but I never seen her. She was dead. She was DOA. So it was kind of like, this is the first time I actually like seen death. And when you see death, it's different than like how people like imagine it and tell you about it. It's different when you get there and you see all the tubes and stuff in their mouth and you think that they could possibly talk and they don't. And that happens. Then they pass away. Then you start getting all regretful and thinking about all the stuff you should have done. And then that's how it changes you, though. So when I got back, it was like, just treat everybody how you would treat your father or your mother.
Right.
And then my grandmother passed away. Tennessee game.
Were you really close with
I was second or third person I was close with on my father's side.
So does that make Vanderbilt your family now?
Yeah, definitely. That's why I walk around and smile at everybody and treat everybody like a brother sister.
So how did you see Coach Franklin?
Coach Franklin was like a mentor pretty much. I got here when he was like a mentor. Just kind of just listen to everything. Mostly when I listen to older people, or people that are somewhat like an older brother or like an uncle, I try and just take their wisdom and apply it to just daily life because they did live longer than you. And they might have something. They might not be the smartest person. You can't listen to everybody because sometimes they don't know what you're talking about. But sometimes you just take little things about it that can help you out in the future. So that's pretty much older people.
So what was going through your head when there were the rumors swirling about him leaving and then him eventually leaving?
I'm just getting ready. Just getting ready for whatever happens. Whatever happens, happens. When he left, it was pretty much like he had to make his decision. He was a grown man. He had to make his decision. And I was just looking forward to the future and seeing what I could do to make the future better as possible. So that's pretty much it.
So I know people always say, like, oh, I came to Vanderbilt for academics and good athletics.
No.
How much did Coach Franklin factor into that?
Oh, he factored academics probably more than football. You just said because it's a 50-year plan, you know. Cause you can't play football forever. I mean, my father told me that tons of times. Like, you can play football, man, but I mean, you put 18, 19, 20, 20 years into it, and you only get paid probably three years out of it.
Yeah.
And you can't live off of that. You put all this work into it. Don't just let football be the only option you have. So after it's all over, you put all that work in to get football, but actually put all that work in to get a great degree and a great job and a great lifestyle.
Do you have an idea what you want to do after football?
Not really. Probably a nice job. Not because some people take jobs for money. Like, most people want to be doctors just to get rich, or they want to be a lawyer just to get rich and they have a great income. They actually don't want to help people because if they drop the income on being a doctor to, like, let's say $50,000, I bet there'll be less doctors in the world.
Right.
But, you know, there's a nice job out where I can help people out. it doesn't really, I don't care, really care about pay. Probably like, it could be a motivational speaker or anything like that. Something that can really help people out.
So what's your major right now?
I don't have no major right now. I'm about to pick one next semester, actually. Depending on my classes, just see it, like whatever major I can get.
Right. You said you'd like to listen to adults and stuff like that. Do you have any specific lessons or things someone's told you that sticks out to you specifically?
The biggest thing is just, I mean, life doesn't wait. Life keeps going. I told my friend this, actually. His auntie passed away back home. Just told him, like, life, football, it keeps going. And it's whether or not you want to keep going along with it, you want to keep improving, or keep moving on with life, because when you pass away, life keeps going on, you know? When my father passed away, so did another 10,000 other guys passed away as well. It's not just your father passed away that day, you know? And people just think of it as just, you're feeling pain. There's thousands and hundreds of thousands of people feeling pain as well. So you just gotta know what that pain did to you and how it's gonna change in the future, you know? So it's like those little experiences like that, well, not little, huge experiences like that, somewhat gotta ignite something about you to say that, well, now life is putting me in a rut, you know. Now it's whether or not I use this rut to make me, I mean, use it in a positive way or a negative way.
Yeah.
I mean, Martin Luther King did say one time about only at night is when you can see the stars. Now, I usually use that for a lot of things just because most people think the worst times, they try and think of the worst times and they stay there, they stay in the dark. And sometimes, if you really think that, sometimes the darkest times, you can just look up and see perfect opportunities in front of you.
Yeah.
That's what I think about.
So how much family do you have left? Sounds like you've really been through a lot.
Most people think I have a small family. I have probably the hugest family ever. I mean, I have so many people for this to come to. Like, it's amazing. When I lost a father, when I lost a mother, a grandma, I got 57 coaches that came to me saying, if you need anything, just help us. I'll help you out any way I can. I got probably 100 mothers. Every mother in my high school, every mother probably in preschool up, that literally came to me and said, if you need anything, and my true family, my father and mother's side started coming into play, my uncles, all my uncles got even closer. It's like when my father passed away, they just took that pain and they actually closed the position up in my heart. So,
right.
And then you got your teammates, they're like brothers, you know. I got a brother and sister as well. But they're not here, so that's why I have these 167 brothers I got right here.
Yeah.
And some of the trainers, I think of them as like kind of like sisters in a way.
Yeah.
Cheerleaders, lacrosse girls, all of them are like sisters, you know?
Yeah.
So
you have sort of the unique situation coming into school early where you basically got a year and a half to redshirt. Mm-hmm. Well, almost.
Yeah, about 2 years.
Near about 2 years.
Yeah.
So. What's some of the biggest places you've improved or learned in the past year?
Mostly it's probably concepts. That's the biggest thing when you come to college. It's when you're on the field, it's kind of hard to be in the play, but you can learn the playbook and do a lot of ball work. But it's when you're out here on the field and you see people move and you're seeing concepts and you've seen how people move and you know certain things that you can just feel certain things and know where to go with the ball. And that's something that if you have that little knack for football, you can go so far with it, you know, just feeling the play, just knowing where to go with it on the field and having that prior knowledge and preparation.
Right.
Those things right there can make you very successful. And that's why I think when I learned redshirt, and I just mostly it was just seeing certain things and just being in the environment, listening to the crowd, looking at those mistakes and looking at those certain decisions that actually help the team out and just remembering those certain things, remembering those concepts, those defenses, those things like that help me out.
Was it tough at all not playing? I mean, I'm guessing you've been starting on your team for as long as you've been playing.
Yeah. No, I understand it's a process. That's how life is. Sometimes it's a process. Sometimes you do certain things so that you can be successful, you know. And I don't know how life works or anything like that, but it's just life is like a big process. Just gotta wait and see how it turns out. Just do what you can do. Do the best you can.
Do you feel like you're ready to play now? Or come fall, do you think you'll be ready?
Definitely by fall. Right now, I think if we play right now, we'll possibly win with what we got right now. But I want my team to suffer just because I don't know the whole playbook as much as I want to.
Is that mostly what you think you need to work on? Is just kind of
just getting familiar. you get familiar with this playbook and you just feel comfortable with it. It's a very good playbook. It's the best playbook I ever thought about. I mean, it's so fun. There's so many things you can do with it. It's just learning and being able to put your team in the best situation. So.
How different is it compared to the playbook Coach Donovan had?
It's more deep. It's more trying to score, really. It's more deep routes. Better concepts. Coach Donovan's offense is not, I would say more of a college type of offense. We're taking shots right now. I mean, the plays are running right now. They're 20 yards deep, 30 yards deep down the field, and they're just letting the ball rip, you know. And if it's not there, then you just throw the ball to your back and you keep on running.
Do you think that fits your sort of style better?
Yeah, definitely. I love throwing the ball. Just throwing it. That's how I love doing it.
Do you mind running?
Oh, definitely running. When it's not open, you got to be able to run, so that's what you do.
Do you take pride in being like a dual threat guy, or what are you most proud of as a quarterback?
Work ethic. Most people don't. I don't brag. I'm mostly like I'm like Otis Redding of the Temptations. I'm not like a leader where I'm trying to exercise my power 24/7. Everybody like he's trying to show off that he's a leader. I just do it, you know. I don't tell people about them. I always inform my teammates like you want to watch this film, but the times I want to watch it, you know, it's kind of. Demanding in a way. It's like 5:30 in the morning. I remember last year I got up at 4:30 in the morning just to get a morning lift. It's all about work ethic. Mm-hmm. Work ethic and determination, perseverance.
So what's interesting is, I guess you say you don't like to brag a lot. You've also got this sort of infectious personality.
Mm-hmm.
How do you balance those two?
Personality. That's just something you just have it or you don't. I mean, it's how people interpret your personality or judge you. I mean, how it determines who you are, but I can't change who I am. I know I can work really hard. And I know I won't brag about it, but I do work very hard. But it can get lost in translation, how people interpret it, but that's how it is. That's how life is.
So you were talking about the Temptations a lot.
Yeah.
Do you sort of think of yourself as like an old soul at all?
Definitely, because when you're a little kid and you have old parents, that's all they have in the radio, and I hated it at first. I mean, it's not a time that I could think about in the past where I was in the car and there wasn't 104.1 on jazz and tons of R&B soul music. I'd just be like, God, I just can't wait to get out of college. I hate the music so bad. And I accidentally fell into liking it. My high school career, the music started getting pretty bad and harsh, and I was like, they missing out on the point about music. It's supposed to be music. That's music. That Temptations, Stylistics, you know, that's music. Whispers, that's music.
Last one, you've got this necklace on with the turtle. Does that mean anything to you?
I know I got this in Key West. I actually had another one that my father gave me. It was gold though. So.
Does it have like a similar logo? Or?
It's a turtle.
The one from your dad?
No, he had one on the other one. It had a turtle on the back. It was like a gold. It was a gold Jesus face with a turtle on the back.
So when did he give that to you?
It was right before I left college. No, it was when I came back. Right before the spring game. It's the last time he dropped me off. Last time. That's it.
So was that the last time you got to see him before? Did you wear that around a lot?
Or? Yeah, I did. Then again, somebody broke me off for practice. I guess it's out there somewhere on the field. I guess you can say my heart's on the field.
That's good. All right,
appreciate
thanks so
that.
Much.
I mean, appreciate it.
Following up Johnny, we have my interview with Ray Bonner, his high school football coach for 4 years at Cedar Grove High School. Please forgive the audio quality. This interview is over the phone, but hope you still enjoy it.
You coached him for 3-4 years?
4 years. I was his high school coach.
So what's the first thing that comes to mind when someone talks to you about Johnny?
You just have to smile because he's such a joy. He's a joy to be around as a player and as just a person. It's unbelievable how he strikes joy up in everybody that comes in association with him.
Right. So how many years was he starting for you?
He started 3 years for me. And the only reason I didn't start him as a ninth grader is I told his dad that I would bring him up the right way. He should have started as a ninth grader. He played a lot because he played JV, and we bought some of our JV guys along. First time he ever touched the ball in a varsity game, he threw a touchdown. He was just like a magician, you know.
I know he's been through a lot in his personal life.
Yes.
So how much mentoring did you have to do for him in high school?
Oh, I feel like I was his mentor long before he got to high school. His dad was my best friend.
Really?
Yeah. We go way back when his dad was playing in the NFL back in the early 80s. He would always come to the high school I was coaching at then when I was a high school coach when I first started at Columbia High School. And his dad would come home from San Diego and he put on a clinic for our kids. So his dad and I go way back. We were real close.
How much had you seen Johnny before he got to ninth grade?
I watched him play in junior high school. I mean, middle school, rather. I watched him play in middle school. And when he was a little boy, he was one of my balls. The first year I left and I was coaching in college and I came back to high school in 2003. And he was one of my ball boys in 2003.
Right. Now, was there a point you knew he was going to be a special quarterback?
Well, I just knew he was a special kid. I thought he was a basketball player.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he could have gone Division I in basketball also. So I always thought he was going to be a basketball player. And then when he came in and told me he just wanted to play football, that shocked me. And I asked him, I said, which one do you like the most? And he said, football over basketball. And all kids love basketball. So
how did he handle that first year playing JV?
He used it as a learning experience. He would meet me every morning at 7 o'clock. His dad would drop him off because his dad taught school in another county, and he would come in and he'd watch film, and he just became a student of the game. And his dad said he had already was like that at home, just watching film.
Right.
So I knew he was special because he knew things that our other quarterbacks and any of our other players, they didn't know. He just knew those things.
That freshman year, do you remember who he was battling against, like year-wise? Like, was he going up against a junior, senior?
It was a senior. And my senior quarterback that year, he got a scholarship to play quarterback at Wofford College. So
right.
He was a pretty decent quarterback. But I thought Johnny had more skills than he had. So.
Right. And then what about his sophomore year? Was he going up against older people too?
His sophomore year, everybody else just took a back seat to him. It was some other guys that we moved from quarterback to wide receiver and defensive back. But we knew he was our quarterback.
So what skills make him a good leader and quarterback to you?
He has that ability to make everybody around him better. And he's just a natural-born leader. But he really made other kids around him better. Kids that I don't think if they'd been in any other system or played with any other quarterback, I don't think they would have gotten a chance to play college football.
Right. Now, what kind of offense did you guys run?
We ran a spread.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we're shifting, I guess, from a multiple sets offense to more of a West Coast offense. And I guess a lot of people, it's kind of split, but a lot of people think that Johnny's the most talented guy, but the only thing holding him back right now is just adjusting to this new system. How was in high school would you have evaluated his sort of ability to pick up the playbook?
Well, you know, I thought he picked up playbook just fine. And we did a lot of things, I thought. Now, I know this, whenever the time comes and if Johnny gets on the field, Johnny's going to make whoever the coordinator is and the head coach, he'll make them look good.
Right.
He's going to make them look good because he can do some things that a lot of other quarterbacks probably can't do in decision-making. You know, I don't know, a lot of times it's the play that we call, but he sees a total different. He has the ability to scan the field and see the field as well as any quarterback I've been around, high school or college.
So you mentioned how good he is compared to the other quarterbacks. How highly would you rank him among all the players you've had?
I'm going to give you a rundown as a high school coach and as a college coach. As a high school coach, the first year that the USA Today had an All-American team, I had the Defensive Player of the Year. He's better than that guy. And I thought that guy was the best high school football I had seen, bar none.
Now, who was that?
Henry Harris. He went to Georgia.
Man.
The next guys that I had that I would rank up there was Antonio Renda, and he was considered the best defensive back in 1983. He was a parade All-American.
Mm-hmm.
And he went to Georgia. Okay, let's fast forward to leave Columbia High School and let's go to the high school kids I coached at Cedar Grove. Had a kid by the name of Xavier Avery, who was a running back, defensive back, that signed with the University of Georgia, but he got drafted in professional baseball in the second.
Oh, yeah, with the Orioles. Yeah, I thought I recognized that name.
So, to me, he wasn't even close. In that same year, had a kid by the name of Josh Jabo, who signed with Oklahoma. Probably one of the most physically talented kids you could ever be around. He was better than him. He played in the Under Armour All-American game. Then
right.
Before that, was Brandon Green, who signed with Alabama, who was an Under Armour All-American. Johnny was just as good, if not better, than all those kids. And those were some legendary names in DeKalb County and in the state of Georgia.
Right.
So.
And he's got all sorts of passing records, too, in DeKalb County.
Yeah, he has all the passing records in DeKalb County. From percentage to yardage to whole nine yards.
And so he's a really big physical guy, and even though he's only going to be a redshirt freshman next year, he's a real big guy. Do you remember at what point he was just a lot more physically mature than the other guys?
Well, I think when he graduated early and went to Vandy in January of last year, and he physically, his whole body changed, and 'cause he can eat now. He's one of those guys, he can eat a ton of food. And, you know, in high school, I guess it had a lot of just snacks and stuff. But got in a good weight program, and we had a decent weight program. But he got in a good weight program, and could eat consistently, I knew he was going to be a big kid, you know.
Mm-hmm. So how much did you talk to him about that decision to leave school early and enroll at Vandy?
Well, I thought it was a good decision for him because I wanted him to get in a situation where he could learn how to be a great quarterback. And that would give him the opportunity to have a spring before all the rest of freshmen came in to try to be something of a support for that team.
Is that uncommon for DeKalb County people to leave early?
I know I had a kid that went to University of Tennessee, Vincent Dallas. He graduated early. And Henry Harris graduated early back. That was back in the 80s. So it wasn't uncommon. A lot of school systems don't have it set up where the kids can get everything that they need to graduate early. So that was one thing that he knew he wanted to do that. So it was everybody pitched in and helped him realize that dream of graduating early and going on to college early.
Do you have any specific moments you remember from a game he was playing in, something special he did?
Let me see. It was so many. Oh, he had a lot of special moments. I can honestly say in certain games I would see him will us to win by doing things that I didn't think were possible. So I can name three or four different games that he did that in over the course of 3 years. And let it be known, we had some pretty good receivers too, but he made a lot of receivers look good.
Mm-hmm.
And that even Vincent Dallas, when he was my top receiver before he went to UT. He was he made him look good as a receiver, and he was a defensive back, really. Vincent might hold the record of the most yards in DeKalb County, so in a season. So Johnny had something to do with that, you know.
Yeah. Now, did Johnny play defense at all for you guys?
No. Didn't want him to. He could have been a good safety, but he's a quarterback, and I don't know what his future holds or anything like that, but he's a quarterback.
Yeah. So you said earlier you were very tight with Johnny's dad.
Yeah.
And obviously there was a very sad situation last spring. So did you get to talk to Johnny much after the funeral there?
Yeah, Johnny and I, we talk, even now we talk. But after the funeral, his dad, I promised some things to his dad. And this was just in talking, not knowing that his dad was going to pass or anything. And he always told me, I just want you to take care of my son. If I die, take care of my son. And now I have an opportunity to do some things for Johnny because I'm retired. I live right in Murfreesboro, and he's down in Nashville. So,
did you make it to any games last year? Obviously, he didn't play.
I was retired. I came to games. I came to some games. I'd come down and see him. I was at a lot of practices last year. I used to go to practice almost at least once or twice a week.
So how often do you guys talk now?
My last time talking to Johnny was about 2 weeks ago. And I came up one day to watch practice and didn't want him to know I was there because I know he has a new coaching staff, and I just wanted to stay out of the way. I didn't want him to think I was trying to coach. I just stay out of the way, you know.
Right.
But I cook him good meals when he asked me to. And, you know, I do those type things. I'll probably see him once or twice a month. And probably over the summer, I'll probably see him more than that.
So how did you guys end up doing in the playoffs?
Well, the 3 years Johnny was the quarterback, we made it to the playoffs all 3 years. And his sophomore year probably was his best year. We were 8-4. We went to the quarterfinals and got beat by the eventual state champ. So Johnny, he's special in my heart just as a person. And being a football player, all that's going to come for him. You just have to stay prayerful and stay into what he believes, and he believes he's a quarterback.
Right. So one interesting thing to me when I talk to Johnny is he's definitely got that personality that makes you want to smile, and he's a little bit goofy sometimes. But then one other funny thing to me is part of me makes me think he's sort of an old soul because he listens to, like, the Temptations. And he's been through some maturing life happenings, too. But how would you describe his personality?
He has a young body but an old heart, an old soul, because he's been through so much, you know, losing his mother early in his life and then losing his father last year. You know, he understands life and how fragile life is. So he tries to live every moment to its fullest.
Mm-hmm. How would you describe his dad?
Johnny has a brother and a sister, but I think, and Johnny was the baby, and I think that was his dad's heart, you know, and he would just light up to think that his son, when he got to play in the Army All-American game, if I could just capture that picture, my wife always talks about it, that's what she remembers. He was so happy at that game to see his son as one of the top quarterbacks in the nation. He smiled the whole time, so...
Does he have the same smile as Johnny?
Yeah. And Johnny has a lot of his father in him, in that he knew how to make people laugh. You know, he just wanted everybody to be happy.
I hope you guys enjoyed these interviews with Johnny McCrary and Ray Bonner. And don't forget to check out the entire article, which is entitled Finding Family in Football, that you can find on InsideVanity.com. And if you're wondering about the musical choice for this podcast, which is a little different than past episodes, I'm trying to show you guys some real music, Temptations. And if you made it this far through this nearly 40-minute podcast, well, good on you. And because of that, I'll give you a free copy of my 2014 baseball preview, which, of course, you can find at theknuckleblog.com. And then go to the top and go under Baseball Previews. Thank you so much for listening again. And until next time, I'm Ben Weinrib. Conquer and prevail.